Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the 9th and 10th Mishnah of the 3rd chapter of Bava Metzia for OU's Mishnah online program. Okay, this is one of those Mishnahs, Mishnah number 9, that looks like it's really straightforward, but once the Gemara gets done with it, it's not at all what it seems. So first, let's review what seems. It seems that the whole Mishnah is a very simple issue, all dependent on whether the owner told a watcher, in this case a Shomer Chinam, a person watching for no money, where to put the item down. And therefore, when the person moved it from the designated place, it was worse than moving it from a non-designated place. If it was a designated place, you're always responsible because you moved it away from the designated place. If it was a non-designated place, if you put it back anywhere in your house, since the place wasn't designated, you are no longer responsible. But in fact, that's not how the Gemara decides the Mishnah is reading. In fact, the general opinion of the Mishnah is that it doesn't make a difference whether there was a designated location or not a designated location. And in fact, that's not a factor whatsoever. The only factor of our Mishnah is, well, it's kind of a weird factor, which is the beginning of the Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael on a certain topic, which we'll get to, and Rabbi Akiva is the opinion which is held by the second part of the Mishnah. So essentially, the Mishnah is not turning on a specific circumstance, but the Mishnah is turning on whose opinion you follow. Now hold on tight, we'll jump right into the deep water and see whose opinion about what the Mishnah is referring to. Hamafkid chavid etzel chavero, somebody who gave a barrel to watch for his friend to watch. We'll see why it's a barrel. It could be anything, but a barrel fits very nicely here because it's easily used inappropriately. Velo yichdolo b'habali makom, and the owner did not designate the space and a specific space to put the barrel to watch it. But remember, what I said is that the Gemara doesn't make a difference whether the owner did specify a place or didn't specify a place. Has nothing to do with the final result. So we might as well just read that as, and it doesn't make a difference whether the Baal did specify a place or didn't. The tiltalav nishbara, and the guy moved it and it broke. Im mitoch yado nishbara, if it broke while he was moving it, then it depends. Litzorcho, if he was moving it for his own sake, like he wanted to climb on top of the barrel, and it broke while he was climbing on top of it, or while he moved it to some location to climb on top of it, then he is chayav, he's responsible. Litzorcha patur. But if it broke while it was in his hands, while he was moving it, while he was shoving it around, but he was moving it around for the sake of the barrel, let's say it was in a dangerous place, the wall was about to fall on it, whatever it is, he's not responsible. So far, so good. Im mishehenicha nishbira, bein litzorcho, bein litzorcha patur. But if it breaks after he puts it down, meaning he stopped using it, so if it was a barrel, he got off climbing it, that's probably the best case to describe, although you could fit other situations for different type of things they might be watching. So once he stops using it, he is no longer responsible for breakage. Now you might have thought, again, based on the words in the Mishnah, it's because the owner didn't stipulate a resting place for the object, and therefore no matter where it comes to rest, once it comes to rest there, that one place is good as another, and he's no longer responsible. But the Gemara decides that that is not what's going on here at all. The Gemara decides that this beginning part of the Mishnah, which says that you are responsible if it breaks while you're moving it, but you are not responsible once you put it down, is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. And here's what Rabbi Yishmael says. He says that if you are watching over something, and you move that item for your own sake, that is not to protect the item, but for your own sake, you are categorized as a thief. So, if I have, a hammer, you loan me a hammer, and you, as far as I know, you didn't tell me to use it. So I'm a guard for the hammer, and I decide that I want to build my house with a hammer. If I use the hammer, I'm actually considered a thief, and therefore I become responsible for all losses. No matter what happens to the hammer, it breaks, it disappears, a meteor hits it, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever, I am responsible for all losses. Ah, if the guy is a thief, then how come Rabbi Yishmael says once you put it back, you're not responsible for it? Once a thief should be always a thief. So Rabbi Yishmael says something very interesting. Rabbi Yishmael says that if you stole something from somebody and they never knew it was gone, and then you returned it to them without them knowing that it had gone and been back. So, for example, let's say you pick somebody's pocket, and the person doesn't notice you picked their pocket, and then you return the money. Whether you did it out of a sense of guilt or whether you did it for negative reasons because you just had, you had already had that kind of color of wallet you weren't interested in anymore, it doesn't make a difference. The thievery is erased because the owner does not have to know that you were ever a thief. You've returned it to the status quo, and therefore you're no longer a thief. Once you're no longer a thief, Rabbi Yishmael says you go back to your original status, which is a Shomer Chinam, and now if it breaks, you're not responsible for theft or loss damage unless it's an act of irresponsibility. Rabbi Akiva, however, disagrees, and he says that we need something called dat balim. You need the owner to know about it, which means even though the owner never knew an item was stolen from him, he must know, he must be informed that the item was returned, and only by being informed that the item was returned can the person then wash his hands, can the former thief then wash his hands and say he's no longer a thief. And therefore, the second part of the Mishnah says as follows. The second part of the Mishnah essentially differs from the first part, because the second part is Rabbi Akiva. If the owner had designated a place, and again, it doesn't make a difference whether it was designated place or not designated place. That's not the factor here. The factor here is whether you have to tell the owner you stole something from him in order to return it silently, whether you can return it silently. The question is, why does the Mishnah then specify yichdol lo balim? That's called a lo mi bai. I gave you the easy case in order to learn the complex case, but that would really take us far afield. So right now I'm just going to say, ignore that part of the Mishnah, and or just assume the Mishnah didn't actually mean what it said, and the Mishnah really meant whether or not the owner told you where to put it down in your house. The tiltal of v'nishbara, and then you picked it up and it broke while you were using it. So this, according to Rabbi Akiva, doesn't make a difference whether you were still using it, like you were climbing on the ladder or you were actually wielding the hammer, or whether you put it down and left it alone. If you used it for your own purposes, you're chayiv. And again, the reason why you're chayiv, even though you put it back, has nothing to do with designated space. It has to do with the fact that once a thief, always a thief, unless you tell the owner, oh, I'm so sorry, I stole, I used it, I shouldn't have, I put it back, is that okay? And then when the owner says, yeah, it's okay, you know, we'll live, don't do it again, so then you're no longer a thief. So if you, after you told the owner, then you go back to being a Shomer Chinam. But if you never told the owner, according to Rabbi Akiva, then he could never absolve you, essentially, of being a thief, and therefore any damage whatsoever causes you to have to be responsible for the loss. Of course, litzorcha, then you're a potter. If you were moving the item not for your own purposes, but to protect the barrel or the hammer or whatever it is from getting rusty or for taking damage, then obviously you're not responsible because you're just doing the thing that a shomer chinam would do. So once again, the whole Mishnah does not deal with whether the owner asked you to put it down in a certain place in your house or not, but only whether once you return a stolen item, and yes, the person's considered a thief, even though he probably didn't think of himself that way. He just thought of himself as, oh, the guy lent me a hammer, told me to watch a hammer. I'm sure he wouldn't mind if I, you know, if I clean my ears with it. But in fact, everybody does mind. The only difference is Rabbi Yishmael says once you return it, it's okay, even though the owner didn't know that you had misused it. And Rabbi Akiva says, tough. Once you misuse it, you're considered a thief. You're always a thief unless the owner absolves you, and therefore any loss that happens any time after that, even after you returned it, whether you returned it to the exact same place, whether you didn't return it to the exact same place, it doesn't make a difference. You're responsible for the damages. And now on to a much easier Mishnah Yud, which gets into the issue of exactly what kind of what is considered irresponsible when it comes to a Shomer Chinam. As we mentioned before, a Shomer Chinam does not get paid for watching, and therefore he's not responsible for theft or loss. All he does is have to go to a Beit Din and then swear that he didn't lose the item, he didn't misuse the item, which would turn him into a thief, or he didn't lose the item out of complete and total irresponsibility, or he didn't cause it to be, or he didn't steal it himself, or we'll see, cause it to be stolen by being irresponsible with it. So essentially, any kind of accident a Shomer Chinam is not responsible for. Now the question is, what's considered irresponsible and what's considered not irresponsible that would cause a person to have to pay for it? So the Mishnah will take an example of money. Hamafkid ma'od etzel chavero. So let's say a person was assigned to be a shomer, a guard, a free, an unpaid guard, for a bunch of cash. Soran v'hif shilan l'achorav. So he takes the whole thing, he ties it up into a big sack, then he kind of tosses the whole thing over his shoulder or puts it in his backpack where he can't see it. Essentially, he does something irresponsible which could cause, you know, the money to all trickle out the backpack or get stolen from behind him. Essentially, by taking his eye off the ball, that is considered irresponsible. Osha masran livno levito aktanim, or he gave it to his small children, his little children, girls or boys, that would also be considered irresponsible. There are two things of note here. One is the question of exactly what age would be considered a katan. It's not as simple as just 12 in a day for girls and 13 and a day for boys. So we'll just leave it alone for now as being a little too complicated and just say kids with not up to the responsibility, which means, by the way, that you could give, if you are a shomer, apparently according to the Mishnah, you could give it to your older daughters or sons because they're considered responsible. And one has to assume that when somebody gives you an item, that your family is included in the overall watching of the item. But if you gave it to the little children, then you're responsible. Oh, nahal bifneim shalo karai, or you locked it up in front of them in an inappropriate way. It seems to be talking about the ketanim, but the other possibility of translating this Mishnah is that it's just that if you took it home and locked it up in an irresponsible way, it has nothing to do with the little children or not. And I'm going to go with that translation because I think it fits the language a little bit better. So in all those cases, chayav shalo shamar kederach hashomim. So the person is responsible for losses, in that case for theft, because he didn't watch it based on standards expected for guardians. If it fell out of his backpack, that's irresponsible. If he put it up in his window, $1,000 in cash, you know, where everybody who walked by his house could see it and then smash the window and get to it, so that's irresponsible. And then, even though a shomer chinam is normally not responsible for theft or loss, if the guy is irresponsible about the way he kept it, then he must pay. V'im shamar kederach hashomrim patur. But if he did a standard job of guarding the item, then he does not have to pay. The Gemara goes into various things about where to put the money. It has to be near the ground or near a wall. Although, you know, in all these cases, I think that modern standards would probably apply. I don't think that you have to put things in a 12-foot thick safe. But I think if you put it in the window where every thief could go by, then you are responsible. I think you have to take these three cases of one, throwing it over your back, and two, giving it to little children to watch, and three, putting it in a place where it's likely to get stolen. You have to kind of apply that to many situations, depending on the item, depending on probably the place where you live and the time that you live. And based on that, there seems to be a standard of shomrim and a bad standard for shomrim, and if you fall into the first, you're okay, and if you fall into the second, you're not.